Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Matthew. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Committed to serving the spiritual, educational, and social needs of middle school students and focusing on your child's individual needs, interests, and emerging self-image are the core from which the curriculum at Bishop Garriga Middle Preparatory School is built. With a knowledgeable and dedicated coaching staff, the school motto of God, Grades, Game is the foundation of an athletic department which features 7 different sports, including football, baseball, and softball. To schedule an appointment to visit the school and to inquire about enrollment, please call 361-851-0853. In the meantime, visit the website bgmps.org. and get the rest of the story. Bishop Garriga Middle Preparatory School, right next door to St. John Paul II High School on Saratoga Boulevard in Corpus Christi.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara, and yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Good morning to everyone.
Yes, well, we have another wonderful gospel from St. Matthew. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This Sunday's gospel is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. So it's the opening chapter of Matthew 25. And of course, those of us who would remember that Matthew 25 is, and I think that's next Sunday, will bring us to the great judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you do to the least, you've done to me. So I think this is a good time to listen to this gospel in preparation for that reading next Sunday on the Last Judgment. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable: "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, 'Behold, the bridegroom! Come out and meet him!' Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise ones replied, 'No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves.' While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he said in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this gospel, as you mentioned before, is kind of a continuation of how we're going to prepare for the final judgment. And, you know, I think if we were to just read this gospel and think of it literally, it would think, well, what's all of this about the 10 maidens and the bridegroom? But of course, the 10 maidens stand for someone and the bridegroom being the Son of Man.
Yes, I think we always have to look at the gospel as an eternal document. It's not something that can be taken, certainly an event like this would have happened in the time of Jesus, but Jesus uses it as a metaphor for us today,
right,
for us to look at it. So it might be a little foreign to our way of thinking culturally that we don't have this kind of a scenario in today's society. But in Jesus's time, this would have been a normal practice, that there would be those waiting for the bridegroom to come, and it was a public event, it was a community event. And so to be ushered in with these flasks of oil through the dark and being brought into the banquet hall for the celebration would have been of a great preparation. And as you said, of course, the bridegroom in this case is the person of Jesus on his return, as we await his return. And so Jesus is really telling the church to be awake, to be alert, to stand guard, to prepare ourselves with lamps and with extra oil in this sense. So it's a very relevant parable for us to keep in mind, that we can't fall asleep in our Christian life. There's things that disturb us. There's things that can really militate against our wanting to live the Christian life. But we have to be very, very careful that Jesus may come at a time when we're least expecting it. And we have to be prepared always, even in the most difficult situations, even the most difficult of times. We cannot fall asleep in living the gospel as Jesus has given it to us.
Well, and I thought it was interesting, too, with the maidens that were waiting and the oils. And so I'm thinking literal part of the oils, but as I was preparing for this, and a lot of our listeners may already know it, but the oil was the representation of your good works, what you've done throughout your entire life.
Right. Yeah, I think the other symbol there is the lamp itself. It's they're varying sizes, but they're all small. You know, when you look at them, the ones that are real, and even the copies, they're all small. So you needed that extra oil, because the flame can go out quite quickly if it's not continually fueled by more. So if we take it in that sense, the oil lamp is like ourselves, living the Christian life, living the virtues and the other things that we'll talk about when we talk about the oil. But you have to keep pumping that oil in, which means you have to keep living the Christian life through adversity, through good times, through difficult times, through times that we don't understand, through our own persecutions. If we go back to the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So even through persecutions, which would confront the church soon, as time went on. So there's all of these things that crosses, difficulties, that we have to keep living and living and living. It's a new way of life that we're called to. So there is, you mentioned the oil. What is the meaning of this oil, the Christian life? Well, we can say that it's the oil of love, that we have to love every neighbor, that we are all children of God, and whether we agree or disagree with someone, we treat one another as a child of God, not as an enemy. And so that's the oil. Mm-hmm. It's also the oil of service, of going beyond ourselves, forgetting ourselves, as we had in the gospel recently, that the greatest among you is the one who serves. It's the oil of forgiveness, being able to forgive those who have offended us, who may try to blacken our name, whatever it is, but there's that forgiveness that has to override any difficulty, and that is the oil that burns in our lamps. It's the oil of compassion, of having a sense of compassion on those, for those who are less fortunate than we are, or who are in a difficult situation, but being compassionate for them. That is the oil of compassion, the oil of mercy. The Holy Father has spoken so much about mercy, but being merciful to those who have wronged us, merciful toward those who are in a difficult, sinful situation, but to find a way to fill our own lamps, to light the light of Christ in us through mercy. It's the oil of justice, of seeing those who are treated in an undignified way. We see this so much with the immigration problem that we have today, with people treating people, other persons, human persons, as if they were less human. And so this is a tremendous need in our time to work with the oil of justice in terms also of refugees that are having to leave their lands because they cannot live their faith, they cannot live a dignified life. And we need to be merciful and also just in those situations. It's also the oil of faithfulness, how many times many of us want to give up. The Christian life is not easy. It's not a piece of cake. It's not ice cream all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a little bit of bitterness that goes with us. But through all of that, and again, looking at the lives of the saints, they were faithful. I think Mother Teresa used to say that God does not look to see how many good things we've done, but how faithful we are, because faithfulness shows our dedication and our love for God first. And I'd like to end this list, and there are many, many more, but all this is the oil of love, the oil of service, the oil of forgiveness, the oil of compassion, the oil of mercy, the oil of justice, and the oil of faithfulness, and many, many others, is what keeps the light of Christ burning inside of us. And that is seen by what I would call the oil of gladness, the oil of joy. And that is what really people need to see in our lives today. Today is the joy that comes from living Christ in our own life and experience.
You know, Bishop, as you were talking about all these different oils, and you had mentioned earlier about how the lamps were small, I'm a visual person, and I'm thinking, well, in those days, you'd probably want a big lamp so it would just last longer. So if you're using the analogy of a big lamp and a lot of oil, you think, I can do one good deed, and that'll last for a long time.
Well, I'm not an archaeologist, but just to respond to that, I've seen them. They're like they fit in the palm of your hand. But if you had a big one and had a flame,
right,
you probably wouldn't be able to hold it. They didn't have potholders back in those days, I guess. But so it was a little thing that just lit up the way. Mm-hmm. And of course, having 10 people mm-hmm. would give more light. Mm-hmm. The more people you have, the more light there is. You don't need a flame in your hand,
right.
A torch. But I think that's another image for us, is that we don't just have our lamps lit and the oil that we have by ourselves. It's not right. just a personal thing. We are a community of faith. And whenever we are living our faith together, the stronger the light is. When we try to live it apart from each other, when we try to create our own way of doing things and living the Christian life on our own terms, the light grows dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and eventually will go out. So it's interesting also that there were 10 mm-hmm. at the beginning, and 5 were prepared and 5 were not. But those 5 kept the flame of faith, the faithfulness alive in their lives, and were able to greet the bridegroom when he came. And that's for us today, to live our faith together despite the difficulties that there might be, but so that we can welcome the Lord Jesus when he returns.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Living every day with passion and purpose, with Matthew Kelly and special musical guest Elliot Morris, is coming to Most Precious Blood Catholic Church on Saturday, December 2nd at 7 p.m. Matthew Kelly is a dynamic speaker who will have you asking yourself, are you thriving or are you just surviving? Are you ready for more energy, for a deeper sense of purpose? More joy and a clearer understanding of God's plan for your life. These passion and purpose events have been life-changing for tens of thousands of people worldwide. Again, the date is Saturday, December 2nd at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church, 3502 Saratoga in Corpus Christi. For more information, including how to get tickets, call Most Precious Blood Church, 361-854-3800.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, you gave a beautiful explanation about the oils in our life and how they can help us be ready for the final judgment. And talking about the final judgment, I found a word that was new to me, parousia. And the parousia, the definition, was the glorious return and appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as judge of the living and the dead at the end of time, the second coming of Christ when history and all creation will achieve their fulfillment. So I know what that was. I just didn't know the word to describe it.
Well, it's not an everyday
common usage term
that we use in the grocery store or in the neighborhood gatherings or family events. But yeah, the parousia is the return of Jesus,
the
glorious
judgment.
Return, the final judgment of the living and the dead. We recite that in the creed, that he will return again. So this is a part of that expectation of return. So the gospel that we've had this Sunday is basically a description of the parousia, the return of the bridegroom. Bridegroom in terms of the relationship between Jesus and his church. The church, the body of Christ, has always been described, since ancient times as the bride awaiting the bridegroom, that Jesus married on the cross. He married us through his commitment, his covenant with us in his blood. There was a relationship of a kind of relationship in the sense of a covenant, the new covenant that Jesus married the church, sealing it with his blood on the cross. So, but also saying that he would return again.
Mm-hmm.
We see the events of our faith that have happened, but what is unseen is kind of difficult for us. Although I think it's interesting in this time of year when we're talking about ghosts and goblins and, mm-hmm. Spirits, and everybody gets kind of all shook up by these things, and even some get into a cult of these things. But the real unseen is the return of Jesus. And that is something that needs to be done with great love, with great expectations. The Maranatha was the early greeting of the church. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, come back to us. St. Paul, in his letters, especially in the letter to the Ephesians, was writing as if he was returning very quickly. So there was this tension, mm-hmm. A beautiful tension in the early church that created that deep sense of fidelity, that deep sense of a willingness to give up things, give up life. So that's where you find the martyrdom of the church was very, the first expression of fidelity to Christ. People were willing to give up their lives. And there's so many stories, of course, in the early writings of the church of people, being tortured, but doing so gladly because they had this unfailing faith and love that he was returning immediately. It was a tremendous hope.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these great martyrs. If I just refer to the first Eucharistic prayer, which was the Roman canon, it used to be called, but you have the list of all these people that are mentioned there: Matthias, Barnabas, Ignatius, Alexander, Marcellinus, Peter, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, and Anastasia. These are real people that were mm-hmm. martyred, waiting for the parousia and thinking that their own death would be a part of initiating that parousia, that Jesus would come.
Wow.
For us, it's very difficult to understand, but their love for Christ was so strong
mm-hmm.
that it was there. And then, of course, we moved to another phase of the life of the church, which was called the white martyrdom, where people were willing to enter into a celibate virginal relationship with Christ, that they would remain virgins. And so you have the whole list of canons, a list of saints that are virgins. Some were virgins and martyrs, but willing to give their life to Christ wholeheartedly and totally, totally dedicated to him. And of course, that is still called for today. So all of this was that kind of
mm-hmm.
humility of the church, of waiting for their bridegroom to return, their Lord and their Savior. And so this is the parousia. And it's, the more that a person today anticipates this meeting with Christ, whether it's through their own death or his return, the more alive their faith is, that they anticipate, they are waiting for, they long for. I think many times if we look at our own culture and society, we don't know how to desire what is good anymore. We desire maybe what is selfish. We desire things that may serve us personally in many ways. But this desire to be with Christ for all eternity is something I think that can and should be revitalized in all of our lives. I think I've mentioned this before in watching people at the last hours of their life, kind of turning their eyes away from their loved ones and really looking somewhere else. To me, that is really a sign that the parousia for them is right there, right, that they see this calling, come, my loved one. You know, it's a beautiful experience to watch. So I would say in a long explanation, that to me is the parousia, hopefully in more real terms than just a Greek word.
A Greek word that we don't use often.
Right, right.
Based on this gospel and what we're learning about the ones, the maidens that were ready and the maidens that didn't have enough oils, what lessons can we take away from that in our modern day so that we're ready?
Well, that's a great question that you ask. And two things come to mind very quickly. I think what Jesus is saying to us through this parable is that last-minute preparation is not good,
right,
that it's too late. The five unwise virgins that did not have oil with them, they missed the opportunity. They were late in their preparation. And so it means that building up a relationship with God, you know, God's love is infinite. It's his mercy is from age to age. So we have to take into that into account. But to try to come to know God at the last minute, to try to show love of God and love of neighbor on our deathbed is pretty difficult to do. And so I think what the first lesson is, that it's time now, today, and I speak about the day that everyone's listening to this, mm-hmm, is a time to give your life to God and to say, you created me and I'm yours. Show me the way. And he will point you to Christ. He'll point you to the gospel. And now love your neighbor. Put aside your pride. Put aside your anger. Put aside your disappointments. Put aside your judgments. Because that's the empty lamp vessel.
Mm-hmm.
That's a vessel that's empty.
No oil.
Put it all aside and begin to learn to love, to serve, to forgive, to be just, be faithful, etc., and to be joyful. Put that oil in your lamp, because at the last minute, it's very difficult to do all of that at the very end. So the first lesson is, at the end of time, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
The second is that you cannot borrow from others this relationship with God. And you can't rely on just borrowing from the past. And I say this with all respect, but sometimes people say to me, well, I used to do this in the church. Well, that's nice. That's fine. What are you doing today?
Okay.
We try to borrow on our past. We try to say, well, I used to serve as an altar server. Well, that's fine. That's beautiful. It gave you a lot of values and growth. What are you doing today? We cannot borrow the virtues. We cannot borrow service. We can't borrow forgiveness from someone else. We see someone maybe in our parish or our family who's very, very forgiving, but we can't borrow that. It has to be ours. We have to own these things ourselves. We can't borrow compassion. We can't borrow mercy.
Mm-hmm.
These have to be our oil placed into our lamps. We can't borrow faithfulness. We have to be faithful ourselves.
You have to do the hard work.
Right. So we have to do the hard work with God's grace to allow God's grace to work in us. And that's why I said, you know, when talking about it's too late at the end, it's not too late today to give one's life over to God and to ask for the grace to be faithful, to be a faithful servant, to really live up to our calling in baptism. I think it's time to get into boot camp, you know, to use military terms. Sometimes we stay in the enrollment stage. We're still enrolling. We're still, mm-hmm, thinking about it. We're still discerning. But it's time to get into boot camp. It's time to start muscling up and loving. Mm-hmm. It's love's not a something for sissies. Love's a really difficult thing because it's love is seen on the cross. It's time to serve. It's time to forgive. It's time to be compassionate. It's time to be merciful. If it means changing our way of thinking, changing our judgments, changing our judgment calls, then do it. Do it. You know, this is a time to really tighten our belts and be ready for the parousia when the Lord Jesus returns. So that's my prayer for everyone this Sunday, that we do all that we can to really be faithful to our calling to Jesus in our baptism and faithful in our preparedness to meet the Lord Jesus when he comes.
And we can always pray for him for help.
Exactly, with the grace, with his grace, certainly. I want to just say that this is something we pray for every time we go to Mass. After the consecration of the body and the blood of the Lord, what do we say? Either we proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Or when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. Mm-hmm. He will come again. May our lamps be lit brightly.
Thank you, Bishop. If you could end this session with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty and merciful God, graciously keep from us all adversity, so that unhindered in mind and body alike, we may pursue in freedom of heart the things that are yours. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.